All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, hour number three. Glad to have you along and good to talk to Quinn Hillier on this Tuesday from QuinnHillier.com. Also the author of the Mad Jones Trilogy, available for you over at Amazon.com. Plus, you had a book signing a few weeks ago, too. Hey, Quinn.
Hey. Glad to be on with you guys.
How'd the book signing go?
Book signing went just fine. About, 22 people, something like that. Not a huge event, but went pretty well.
You gonna do one of those back over here soon? I mean, I know you were in New Orleans for that one, but
yeah. Well, I'm gonna do one in Pascagoula, Mississippi, on September 12th, and then I'm hoping to maybe do one here sometime in the fall.
All right, very good. Well, keep us in the loop on that. Lots to talk about today with you, and I want to look at one of the headlines here from over at the Washington Examiner. Word flubs such as Trump's Toledo-Dayton goof aren't news. There's a lot. You got a lot to say here, not even about specifically what happened yesterday, but probably media culture.
Yeah, I do. Look, when Robert Mueller, fumbled around for the word conspiracy when he was trying to say what the legal term was for collusion, people said, oh, my God, it shows he's got dementia, even though everything he said around it was, showed exactly that he knew what he was saying. He explained what he was saying. He just couldn't think of the word. Trump says Toledo instead of Dayton, and every major news outlet in the entire country ran a separate article just on the fact that he said Toledo over Dayton. And then I give other examples where the media and other politicians freak out when somebody loses their train of thought or mistakes one word for another. And I said, you know what? That's insane. How many times do every one of us, ages 15, 25, 35, 45, do and say the same sort of thing? Most people don't go through an entire day without at some point losing their train of thought or fumbling for a word. And yet, when a politician does a normal thing, which I explained is, I cited some articles that show, why and how this happens in neuroscience. When somebody does that, they have a conniption fit, as if, oh my goodness, the person's lost their mind. It is this freak out, instant react, everything is super important media culture that is driving us all to distraction, and I'm sick of it.
Yeah, there's a little bit of the whataboutism, right? There's the, well, what about this? Because, I mean, even in your article at the Examiner, you talk about Biden said the shootings were in Houston and in Michigan, right?
Yeah, so, okay. So Joe Biden did it before Trump, and there was some media coverage of it, although, oddly enough, just not as much. You know what? There is a double standard in that
Sure. The
freakout is always worse when somebody perceived to be on the right has a flub, like Dan Quayle way back when, vice president, misspelling potato, when somebody gave him a flashcard that had it misspelled and he was just reading the flashcard. You heard about that literally for decades.
That one was better, though, because he corrected the kid's spelling.
So you heard about that for two decades. Now, when is the last time, though, that you heard the media freak out about Barack Obama talking about 57 states?
Well, they didn't, right. So, but, the, that was, remember when, or saying corpse instead of core, when former President Obama said that. And then if you would get in that discussion, somebody would say, well, what about George Bush saying this? And, I mean, that when you do this thing, that there's a lot of talk radio people that love to do it, but it's just whataboutism back and forth and back and forth. At the end of it, what have you actually accomplished, or what issue have you actually looked at? I would say zero.
Zero. And my point is, unless there is a pattern, a serious pattern that is combined with general confusion rather than just missing a word or temporarily losing a train of thought, unless there's a pattern that actually suggests a medical problem some sort of diminished mental capacity, leave it alone. Maybe you might have a late-night comedian make a quick joke about it, But it's not news. It certainly should not be headlines. And any news organization that focuses on it for longer than about 2 column inches is itself a joke.
Quinn, we know that the overall goal for journalists and media companies is to get as many clicks as possible. But I'm wondering your opinion. You know, yesterday after the president spoke, two of the top trending topics on Twitter were Toledo, obviously referencing that, and also hashtag teleprompter Trump. Do you think that the media should be leading the conversation, or do you think they should be following and going after those clicks? I think a lot of them see that, you know, normal people are making fun of the president online on Twitter, and they say, oh, that's driving clicks on Twitter. We need to run a story about that here. But do you think the media should actually be leading the conversation and kind of, you know, taking it above just the easy targets?
Well, I think it depends on which media you're talking about. The outlets that call themselves straight news should just be reporting the news. They're not supposed to lead. They're not supposed to follow. There are objective, dispassionate criteria for what qualifies as news and how you report it, and that's all they should do. They shouldn't worry about leading or following. Now, opinion journalism, obviously, are going to try to put something in perspective. And they, you know, there's reason for them both to lead and follow in your terms. I mean, if the public is talking about it, then, you know, then they should look at it. You know, oh, maybe we missed something. But for news organizations in general to have an agenda is just bad journalism. But I find myself every day complaining about bad journalism and writing column after column about it. And I've got to say, most of the bad journalism tends toward, you know, being biased in favor of the left. So that, to me, makes it even worse. But it's a problem all around.
Okay, yeah, but we, you know, just like we've often said, you get the government that you deserve. You get the media you deserve as well, because that does drive clicks or get attention. The it's the whole get them mentality that, you know, ends up frustrating me to some degree too. When something I'll say, hey, over here is actually the important thing. Look at this thing over here. But nobody wants to do that because the low-hanging fruit is a lot easier to talk about. Doesn't take a lot of knowledge of the subject. You can just go, yeah, get them.
Yeah, well, and that's true. It's a bad thing, but look, the overreaction to Toledo, to get back to that, was so pronounced, was so absurd that, look, you know, I'm not a Trump fan, but I wrote a whole column defending Trump from that overreaction. I also, by the way, did a separate column noting that, you know, if you take away the visuals, you take away the tone of voice, you take away the name Trump and you just read the words on the page, his speech yesterday on the shootings was a perfectly adequate presidential speech. Mm-hmm. There was, it wasn't extraordinary. It wasn't, you know, phenomenally moving or anything, but it struck the right notes. He said the right things. And all this teleprompter Trump, well, you know, every single president reads off a teleprompter. So, again, the attacks on Trump because, oh, he didn't, you know, call for every bit of legislation that I want to call for, that, you know, that means he doesn't really care. That's crazy stuff. There's only so much a president can do. He's not supposed to be. We didn't elect a consoler-in-chief. And people need to get a grip, and people also need, finally, this is my last bit of preaching, to stop politicizing tragedies in their immediate aftermath. Let it sink in. Express condolences. You know, do the law enforcement work. Mourn together. Pull together. Stop immediately throwing political bombs both ways. You know what? That's not just wrong. It's sick, and I'm sick of it.
Yeah. One thing, side note is, number one, I wonder if we don't gravitate towards the Toledo effect here, because in the face of this kind of tragedy, it sure is easier on the soul to talk about whether, you know, the president misnamed the city in Ohio versus this horrific mass shooting, you know, whether it be in El Paso or Dayton or any of those in our past, this thing that is so sad, and you hear about children and mothers shielding children and being shot, and you can't do anything, you can't go fix it. And so it sure is easier to talk about, you know, oh yeah, well, he said the wrong name of the city, than it is trying to, you know, let your emotions come to the surface about what it means, you know, for these families individuals.
That's a good point, but what really gets me is that when I say politicization, I'm also saying the blame casting. Oh, you know, somebody who was uniquely evil, or nearly uniquely evil, goes and kills 20 people, you immediately go and blame some political figure?
Right, right.
I'm sorry, Donald Trump did not pull the trigger.
Right.
And
nor did Mitch McConnell.
Nor did Mitch McConnell. And nor did Bernie Sanders pull the trigger in Dayton, even
right.
though the
Socialist.
Dayton guy was a big Bernie Sanders
yep.
fan.
Yep.
And casting blame like that is irresponsible, it's sick, and it is shameful.
You know, one of the things that comes out of this as well is the president, well, they're saying, well, the president didn't give a lot of details, but the things the president was moving on yesterday, some of them, are things that are, I would say, are populist and not conservative. I mean, we already have the bump stock ban that's come through President Trump, now red flag laws that he's pushing for. These are things that are not the tenets of a super strong second. People say, oh, you know, he's just reading the NRA's, you know, prepared statements for him. I don't know, twice now that either he's changed the mind of the NRA or he's told the NRA to follow him. These things are not, these are populist and not conservative Second Amendment takes.
Well, yes and no. I mean, a red flag law, as long as it is limited and carefully constructed, you're not going to have a lot of Second Amendment people can complain too strenuously about it. Again, the details matter.
Correct.
So, you know, but look, Trump was not for the Second Amendment 18 years ago. In fact, there was some interview where he was basically all for gun control.
Yep.
So Trump, unless it's trade or immigration, Trump wiggles all over the place, or has during the course of his life, and I don't care whether you call it populist or conservative. Let's just get it right. Be very careful that you don't take away some rights that actually pertain to good law-abiding citizens. That's important. I don't think anything he said did that, but you're right that he's going a little in that direction.
I mean, really, I mean, the bump stock ban came in the wake of the dirtbags murder spree in Las Vegas. And I just pointed this out, and I would never get maybe I had one or two people that gave me what I felt was a fair response. I said, if Barack Obama would have instituted a bump stock ban, y'all would have lost your minds. And for you not to lose it now because it's President Trump doing it, I think is hypocritical and disingenuous.
Good point. But then again, there are all sorts of things that supporters of Trump would have did yell bloody murder about when they involved Obama or especially Clinton, that now they go crazy defending him about because
yep.
how dare you criticize Trump. So,
yep.
Look, the hypocrisy runs both ways.
Sure it does.
Let's everybody cool it, pull together, talk to each other, listen to each other, and try to find some common ground, okay?
Well said. Quinn, remind folks where they go to get what you're writing about, what you're thinking about.
Most of my stuff now is Quinn Hillier, Washington Examiner, but I also put it up every week at quinnhillier.com and follow me Twitter at Quinn Hillier.
Good stuff. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.
821 FM Talk 106.5. Grab your phone calls at 343-0106. 343-0106 also works for the text line. Dalton and I will be right back?
Yeah,
right
I'm
back.
Here.
Okay, good. We have a little junior version of that at my house on Friday or Saturday nights. Beer Fest. But this is more organized going on. All right, 826 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Phone number 343-0106. Also works on the text line 343-0106. Segment of the show brought to you by Lightstream. Credit card bills, every month you get them, and with multiple payments and multiple due dates, wouldn't it be easier just to have one payment at a much lower rate? Here's how it happens. You can, with a credit card consolidation loan from the folks over at Lightstream, get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with auto pay. That's lower than the average credit card interest rate that's 19% APR. Plus, the rate's fixed, so it's never going to go up over the life of the loan. Get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Online application is so easy, you can apply right from your phone. And Lightstream believes that people with good credit like you deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. And just for y'all, you can apply now to get a special interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Sullivan. The website, lightstream.com/Sullivan. My last name, Sulliv as in Victor, A-N. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, 827 FM Talk 106.5. Dalton, what we're talking about during the break here.
Yeah, so we were talking about journalism and the role of media with Quinn Hillier a little bit earlier. And it's funny, right now, trending on Twitter, hashtag cancel NYT, meaning the New York Times. People calling...
The old gray lady?
That's right. People calling for the... people, other people, to cancel their New York Times subscriptions.
And so you just think it'd be conservative, right?
Yeah, you would think it would be Trump followers who finally taking his word. He's been railing against the New York Times since before his election in 2016. But no, it's actually liberals this morning.
Now, why would liberals want to cancel the New York Times?
That is a great question. That's because the first edition of today's paper on the front page ran the headline, Trump urges unity versus racism. And liberals all across America just completely inflamed by that headline.
That is what he did in the speech yesterday.
That's what...
So the New York Times accurately reported what the president did.
That's correct. And they've already changed that headline after the criticism started popping up.
What?
Well, the new headline reads, let's see here, Trump assails hate but not guns. That's the new headline. And you have several prominent liberals that are
what did they expect? You got a Republican president who, you know, it has stood up at some level. I have my, you know, my uncomfortable discussion about that, but at some level stood up for Second Amendment rights. Do they expect the president to come out and be different on that?
No.
But what he did is shut down all this talk about the racist president, or he's a white supremacist president. I mean, he in no uncertain terms went ahead and just called him out and said it is a problem in this country.
He did, but you'll never hear any of that from liberals. They don't want him to come off as presidential at all. You have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez tweeting, let this front page serve as a reminder of how white supremacy is aided by and often relies upon the cowardice of mainstream institutions. You have Senator Cory Booker, who was in our area yesterday. He said, lives literally depend on you doing better, New York Times. Please do. Then you have Gillibrand, who referencing the Trump urges unity versus racism. She says, that's not what happened. And Beto O'Rourke just simply says, unbelievable.
I would love to hear them dismantle the statement and tell me where the New York Times got it wrong.
I know. And the New York Times bowed quickly to the pressure, changed the headline, and that's kind of what we were talking about with Quinn. Should we hold our media to a standard where they elevate the discussion rather than bending to the will of the few people that show up on Twitter every day?
Well, but it's about the clicks, right?
That's right.
So we'll be back to the lowest common denominator. And water always finds its lowest level.
And I'm sure to earn their readership back tomorrow morning, the New York Times will have some headline on the front page completely bashing the president.
Most likely correct. All right, coming right back. Phone calls and texts, 343-0106. Also, Governor Ivey in South Alabama yesterday discussing both sides of the coin with tolls. Also, 56,000 Mobile County Public School clients, we'll call them students, are back in today. We'll talk about that as well.
Hey, thank you, Quaint. Thank you, Kane. 836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings on a Tuesday. Heating up out there. Dr. Bill says heat index up to 107, 108 later this week. Man, getting hot. Yeah. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Dalton. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Earlier, you said the magic words to me, Mitch, at McConnell Automotive right now. Great deals on trucks. Tell us all about those great deals.
Well, Dalton, I think a lot of people are out there driving a Ford or maybe a Dodge or even the old GMC or the current Chevy, and they don't realize they can get the deals they can get from McConnell right now on the new truck. Everybody's loving the one for six punch and tailgate. Mm-hmm. We've got, Dalton, if people go to our website, McConnellAutomotive.com, a new announcement, which is over $10,000 off of that brand-new truck. And we've got 20% off the double cab and the SLE version. And if somebody's got, like, negative equity, Dalton, they're making a payment and they're upside down, they've tried to buy a new truck and got disappointed. And we've got the kind of discounts at McConnell right now that can get people in one of these new trucks that everybody's dreaming about and loving. And lower their payments, get them out of negative equity, those kind of things. So these kind of discounts on the trucks, it's been rare, but we get excited, you and I do, when we get to tell people they could get a truck for this kind of price with that new tailgate.
And if somebody hasn't seen the new truck, they're sitting at work waiting for their time to run up so they can head over to McConnell Automotive. The website, McConnellAutomotive.com, you can see pictures of every piece of inventory you have there.
Yeah, and we're the easiest dealership in the world to deal with. I mean, literally, people come test drive one, we'll let you take it for lunch. You know, whatever you want to do, we make things easy. But Dalton, that website, McConnellAutomotive.com, people go on their phone right now, check it out. And we've got a great selection, buddy, so we hope people take advantage of it.
All right. Thanks, Mitch.
Y'all have a good one, Dalton.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find them on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right. Get to some of the audio from Governor Ivey yesterday. But before I do, I'm going to play a little clip here. So this shows up over at Fox10TV.com. You can get it on their website. And something that my friend Lanice Ligon talked about yesterday evening, a new feature they have. It's from the vault or something. I'm thinking about all the old Grateful Dead from the Dalton.
Okay, yeah.
From the vault. The Fox 10 News Vault. Okay. It's a new feature they're debuting. And with this, they went back into the 70s, and the reporter Frank Curry, we got to ask our buddy Rennie if he remembers Frank Curry. So Frank Curry is doing the report, and the report here, they got the old package, the old story from mm-hmm. the vault here, and it is from back in 1975 when the Bayway was still under construction and there were concerns about budget cuts affecting the construction. Okay, we're going to roll through this. This is a report talking about the money available on a federal level for that project. We'll play that, and then we'll try to put it into perspective in today's dollars. All right, here it is. This is just a little clip from the feature that ran yesterday afternoon.
The only major interstate construction underway in the Mobile area, the bridge across Mobile Bay to connect the George Wallace Tunnel with Interstate 10 and Spanish Fort. Money already appropriated, contracts let, and some construction is underway. So this project won't be affected by recent increased availability of federal money. A project that could be affected is the Delta crossing of Interstate 65. Alabama received $113.5 million of the $2 billion released by President Ford. That 11-mile section of Interstate 65 between Highway 43 and Highway 225 would cost an estimated total of $108 million. According to a statement from Alabama Highway Director Ray Bass, evaluations are now underway to determine where that money could best be used. Frank Curry, Channel 10 Newsbeat.
Channel 10 Newsbeat, man. Old school. All right, so some of my takeaways from that. So you have the... Here's the federal funding, federal money for the project. They're worried about it, but it wasn't affected, but they're saying that there could have been some cuts. So it was $2 billion in federal highway funding nationally, mm-hmm. according to that story. Let me tell you, 1975 to 2019, let's round it out, it's about a 400%. The inflation is a buck back then is $4 today.
So we'd be looking at $8 billion.
$8 billion. I mean, I think, you know, they didn't get into analyzing this. They just reported the story, but I did. I looked at it and I said, okay. So $8 billion was the federal highway money. Mm-hmm. And from that, for a project to cross 11 miles, which is just a little bit more than crossing the Bayway. You know, this is the Dolly Parton and the span over there.
Right.
That project, federal dollars for that project would be about $450 million. $450 million in federal dollars in that project.
Amazing.
Okay. So using today's dollars, $450 million in that project. And we're looking at $125 million in federal money for the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project in today's dollars. So comparison is $450 million versus $125 million. I just thought that was interesting. So it's a similar thing. It's a road project crossing the Mobile-Tensaw River Delta. One's down on the south end. One's, you know, a little bit up, you know, where 65 crosses. And the ratio here really struck me in that story. So back then, the state of Alabama received $113.5 million out of the $2 billion released by President Ford. So $450 million around there in federal dollars. And today we're looking at $125 million. So I thought, I mean, that was a chance. It's not Fuji apple to Fuji apple, but it's like it's Red Delicious to Fuji apple comparison.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting, if things stand the way they are, about the same amount of money as they did in 75 minus the inflation, the exact same amount.
Exactly,
just about.
Exactly. Good point. So we're getting 113 is what was given in those dollars that day to 125 today. But of course, the reality is that $113.5 million would be $450 million.
Do you remember how much were people saying that new roadway, was that as important then as getting this new bridge built is important today?
You know, I was let everybody know how old I was. Three.
Okay. So what were your thoughts?
Three.
Your thoughts then?
That Tonka trucks can run over other things, like, and I'd like to make noise and probably threw things from the high chair. I was in a high chair until 17, but so I'm putting this link up on Twitter because I want y'all to also see the video that goes with it because it shows the unfinished Bayway. I mean, the Bayway, and then it just stopped where they hadn't finished it. And I don't remember not seeing the Bayway.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to, and I'm sure somebody can go in and do a Photoshop on it to see what it would look like with just the causeway. And of course, because I'm a history fan, I sit back and picture, and I've seen the artist rendering, and I had the maps in my office at home, what it looked like without the causeway too, just when the rivers did what they were supposed to do and came out. But yeah, this is an interesting story, and I just thought the takeaway there was dollars to dollars, what was available in 75 for a very similar project compared to today. And I thought there was some merit in pointing that out.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I'm glad Fox 10 is kind of starting that new series there.
I'll say this. I'm happy they're doing it, but it is from a business person's perspective in media, it's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
If you just take all the stuff, it's like playing the hits.
Yeah.
You know, you go back in what we called recurrence in music radio or classics or gold category in music programming. You just bring back something you hadn't played in a long time. People are like, yeah, man, that's good. And you didn't have to go, like, search out new music.
But also, I think it can be extremely helpful because we have, you know, so much information flowing through day to day, new news stories, new information. If we never go back and look at what happened, what's the saying? If you don't look back at history, you're doomed to repeat yourself.
Correct.
And remember when we were talking about Hank Aaron.
People have been saying that for a long time.
They have. For
irony in that.
All of history, they've been saying that. And, you know, we were talking about Hank Aaron Stadium last year, and Bay Bears had already decided to move on. And then we find out that the city of Mobile doesn't actually own the land underneath Hank Aaron Stadium.
That's right.
If we did a little bit more looking back and reading stories about things as they came into Mobile and some of the decisions we've made in the past, maybe we would not make some of the same mistakes over and over again.
You're right. You're right. And but people have been lamenting this for a long time, and they continue to make the same mistakes. All right. Also, Governor Ivey speaking yesterday. She came out of that ADECA meeting and talked about tolls. She was questioned by members of the media when she came out, and they asked her, you know, what about tolls? What about $6? All that kind of stuff. We come back from the break. We'll get to that from the governor and also get to your phone calls and text at 343-0106. Quick reminder, too, front page of FMTalk1065.com. Not only can you get the three big things, the top stories of the day, one of them being Alabama governor speaks in Baldwin County for the first time since the toll proposal. But also while you're there, the 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question, what can be done to help limit mass shootings? Love to hear from you when you vote online, front page of FMTalk1065.com. And we're coming right back. at 850. FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Morning. Sean Dalton, Dr. Bill Kane. Kelly's got headlines. And we're waiting for you online at fmtalk1065.com. Online opinion poll question, a quick tally of where we sit now. What can be done to help limit mass shootings? Gave you a lot of choices here. Stronger background checks for gun buyers. 8% of y'all said that. And I know that it could be multiple for people. That's why you have to go do your number one. Mm-hmm. You go down this list, you might say, well, it could be this, this, and this. But
what should be the first action?
That's right. So stronger background checks for gun buyers, 8%. More focus on mental health, 31%. Increased policing of social media, 8%. Regulate violent video games and movies, 23%. Stronger penalties for hate crimes and mass shootings, 0%. Ban some of the weapons currently available, 15%. Condemn politicians for hateful and divisive rhetoric, 15%. So that's how the voting is going right now. We'll keep it tallied throughout the day.
I'm not surprised that the stronger penalties for hate crimes and mass shootings is the lowest voted for right now. And when the president said that yesterday, I mean, it makes sense.
You saw me react. I said, death penalty, all the, that doesn't keep these creeps from dirtbags from killing other people.
Exactly. It's nice to hear, I guess, after tragedies like we had this weekend, that you want these people, if they're not killed there at the scene, which, you know, usually we hope that they are, but if they do go through the criminal justice system, you'd want them to eventually pay for their crime.
Sure.
And it's good to hear the president come out and say that. But in reality, I mean, is a harsher penalty for going out and killing as many people as you can, is that actually going to dissuade anyone from doing that?
I don't think so. Because this stuff is at such a other level for them that it's not like they weigh like they're robbing a bank or mm-hmm. something. It doesn't have that same kind of, at least what it looks like from the outside. And I will say too, I want them captured alive. And this is a part of this that, listen, it doesn't break my heart when they get rendered room temperature and their DRT at the shooting site. That believe me, no tear for me there either. The reason I want them is I'd like to know, and I think law enforcement does too, they've done a whole bunch of research so far, but every one of these dirtbags you can get, if they can get some questioning and find out how they arrived at this, mm-hmm. and then you can actually, but how they arrived at this, I think you're better maybe preventing it in the future. I mean, knowledge is not wasted.
You're right, yeah, and I guess I should take back what I said, because
I don't cry for them when they get rendered room temperature at the scene. It just, part of me goes, if they capture them mm-hmm. alive and then can interrogate them and we can learn something about the mental states, maybe we can use that as part of the system to lower the number of these kind of events going forward.
Yeah, that could only help to get more information. And then if you break down the president's statement yesterday, he said the death penalty for hate crimes and mass killings. And if you get into that, of course, nobody wants any hate crimes. But, if it's a hate crime and no one's murdered or anything like that, I'm sure that's not what he was getting into. But if you break it down, it kind of sounded like he was saying death penalty for hate crimes.
Yeah, well, that's a whole nother subject matter. I think if you kill anybody, it's a pretty hateful crime.
But, right.
That's a whole nother show. Hey, by the way, I'm going to play this clip from the governor real quickly. And also, I've got these no toll mm-hmm. stickers here.
Oh yeah,
and I had them in my, had some of them in my truck this weekend, and people like raided me for them. I'm going to figure out, we've got some here to sell, but what I want to do is, because we're not like a retail location, mm-hmm. I want to find some people who want to come buy a bunch of them at one time and take them somewhere else to either hand out or sell. I don't mm-hmm. want to. We just don't. I mean, we're a radio station. We're not a we don't have like a cashier or anything. So got to figure that out. If you're somebody who has the desire to buy a big block of these, block the I-10 toll stickers, get with me on the text line or on my email, and we'll work something out that way. All right, Governor Ivey speaking yesterday in Orange Beach after that ADECA meeting about tolls. She was asked questions. She came out of the meeting, and the media was waiting for her.
What is your opinion of Al Duff's toll proposal for the I-10 Bridge project?
For the reasons of public safety to commerce, I want to work with people to find viable solutions so this project can go forward. It's a needed project. It's been in the works for some 22 years. And we've got to find a way that's reasonable and viable.
Do you think $6 is reasonable for toll?
I'm looking at all options, and if we can get it low, that's what we need to do. If we can have no tolls, that would be fine, but we've got to find a way to do it.
Some people have been upset that the day of the toll authority meeting is the same day as tax referendums in Fairhope and Spanish Fort. Can you comment on that?
Didn't have a clue about those potential conflicts, but it's important that we get this group together so we can lay out all the facts, receive any other possible solutions that people want to talk about.
Anything else off of the toll bridge?
Could there be a vote by the toll authority on something related? I mean, what can we expect at this meeting? Will there be a vote or something?
The toll authority gathers information so that going forward, when the state commits to a project, the project will have all the parameters addressed before the state makes a commitment.
And any other subjects today?
Do you see a scenario where tolls are not going to be necessary for this project?
I think everybody would be happy if there was no toll at all, but you got to find a way to pay for the bridge. What do you suggest?
All right, last question.
Give your reaction to...
All right, so some of the audio from yesterday, kind of setting up what we'll do at noon today for Midday Mobile. Guest on the show, I had a conversation with him yesterday. I'm just riding down the road in the middle of one of those huge deluges, those thunderstorms. Former State Senator Tripp Pittman and I talking, and he said something that we were talking about. We talked about such statewide subjects as the red snapper bite and speckled trout bite, but also we got into some state politics. And he rolled something out kind of somewhat nonchalantly, talking about ideas for the toll and what could be done to maybe facilitate faster traffic without building a bridge. And it was the first time I had heard this idea, first time I'd heard this rolled out. And he put two stories. How about this? Here's the tease for noon today. What if I could take I can bring somebody on the air to talk with y'all that would bring together maybe a solution to the traffic issues, I-10, there at the tunnels, and somewhat of a solution for the Civic Center.
Wow. All in one, huh?
The Civic Center issue and the toll issue maybe having one move that could benefit both.
That's interesting.
It was really interesting. So I invited him on the show. He'll join us today at noon for Midday Mobile. We'll talk more about that.
Awesome.
All right. I mean, so there's your tease. No, I'm not. People are already asking. No, I'm not going to tell you what it is. You listen at noon, and we'll let Tripp Pittman tell you what it is.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Mike Gallagher Show on the way next. And yeah, if you are if you want one of these stickers, if you want these stickers to sell, I think they are $1.25 each. Yeah. $1.25 each. If you want to buy bulk of them, let's say 50 stickers or better, contact me through the text line or the email, and we'll get you set up. All right, good stuff. We'll be back at noon. Mike Gallagher next.